time for the E21 Go Sports Podcast. Now, here's your host, Easton Durant.
Hi, and welcome to E21 Go Sports. I'm Easton Durant. And in today's episode, I'll be talking about the Texans versus Chiefs, the Ravens' surprising loss to the Titans, James Harden, and the Browns' new coaching situation. Last time that the Texans played the Chiefs, it was 31-24 Texans. Deshaun Watson threw for 192 yards, 3 touchdowns, and ran for 42 yards, 2 touchdowns. Carlos Hyde had 116 yards and 1 touchdown. They'll probably go with the same game plan that they had in that game because they've had a lot of success running the ball. They've had 125.9 rushing yards per game. This is 9th in the league. Carlos Hyde had his first 1,000-yard season. Both him and Watson have had 4.4 yards per attempt. The Chiefs' run defense has not had very much success this season stopping the rush, allowing 128.2 rushing yards, 26th in the league. Only 3 teams have given up more than this. In the Chiefs' 4 losses this season, they've given up 4.9 yards per carry, 178.7 yards per game in their 4 losses. Although the Chiefs do have one of the best pass-stop defense allowing 221.4 yards per game, this is 8th in the league, passer rating is 5th, completion percentage is 4th, and fewest plays for more than 20 yards is tied for 8th. But they haven't fared well against running backs and giving up the most touchdowns to receiving touchdowns to running backs. The running back position and has to be one of the Texans' Achilles heel. They have, in running and rushing, they've not been good against them. Tre'Davious Ward has been one of their best cornerbacks, giving up a low 64.7% passer rating. This will be a key to stopping DeAndre Hopkins, who has 1,165 yards and 7 touchdowns and 105 receptions. Mahomes' passing yards, 5th, touchdowns, 5th, and completion percentage, 5th. He's had 26 touchdowns and 5 interceptions. I think that the Texans will win. They've played well in their past couple of games, and they have the tide rolling in their direction with the last win, being able to boost their confidence with the Chiefs' only advantage is being that they didn't play and have had the extra week of rest. Moving on to the Titans versus Ravens. This was a very surprising game. You would think that the Ravens would have rolled over the Titans, and many people did think that they were, but the Titans just got it underway and were able to play well the whole game and played very, very well. Looking at the box score, Ryan Tannehill, 7 for 14, 88 yards for passing, 2 touchdowns. And Derrick Henry had a 3-yard touchdown throw. And looking on the other side of this, Lamar Jackson played absolutely phenomenal. 31 for 59, 365 touchdowns. 365 yards, sorry. 1 touchdown, but 2 picks. The running game for both sides was good. Lamar Jackson, 20 carries, 143 yards. And Derrick Henry, 195 yards, but no touchdowns. Ryan Tannehill surprisingly ran for a touchdown. And it was just a Titans game from the beginning. They were playing really well the whole game and just got to the first score. Derrick Henry grabbed the spotlight and he wouldn't let it go. When he was done leading the Chiefs in the AFC Championship game, he did a lengthy victory lap around the Baltimore Ravens' home, slapping hands and taking selfies with Titans fan. Henry said after rushing for 195 yards and throwing a 3-yard touchdown pass in the upset, he said, "It's just not me. It's a team effort. We're all playing collectively as an offense, as a whole. We just locked in. We believe in each other. We communicate. It's working out there." The Titans fear no one, and they shouldn't. And they should with Henry rushing and even throwing the ball and a big play defense making clutch stops and turnovers. 1 week after dominating Super Bowl champion New England, the Titans, who are 11-7, eliminated Baltimore, who is 14-3. The Ravens have won their last 12 games with quarterback Lamar Jackson setting records and looking unstoppable. But on Saturday night, it was Henry who was unstoppable. Despite Baltimore stacking up 8 men up front on almost 2/3 of their runs, at times Henry used power to create space. At others, the holes the line provided were huge. "Watch us work," Henry said. "We don't do much talking. We just go back there and believe in each other. That's our mentality. We're going to come in and work. Focus on finishing." Tennessee's defense had 2 interceptions of Jackson, who also lost a fumble, and the Titans twice stopped Baltimore on 4th-and-1. Henry's jump pass to Corey Davis displayed yet another one of his skills. He has completed 3 throws in 4 attempts in his career. He said, I put it perfect, man. I haven't done that pass since high school. I feel like I still got it. But it's the way he plows over and through opponents that makes Henry and the Titans dangerous. Next week, they'll go after their second Super Bowl trip and first since 1999, either at Kansas City or Houston. The last 6th seed to get the game was Green Bay in 2010. The Packers won it all. Tennessee scored all of its points off takeaways or 4th down stops. Ryan Tannehill's throws to Jonnu Smith and Keith Raymond, who missed the last 2 games in concussion protocol, gave the Tennessee a 14-point edge. Moving over to other quotes from the Ravens is Pro Bowl cornerback Marlon Humphrey didn't back down from his post-game comments that the identity of the Baltimore Ravens is that they, quote, choke in the playoffs. He said, quote, "I stand by that. It actually was what I was thinking on the sideline. It's crazy. You are what you show on paper, and you are what you show on the field. That's what we've shown on the field." Last season, the Ravens lost 23-17 at home to the Los Angeles Chargers in the AFC wild card game. They just have not had much success in the playoffs that much ever. And after Saturday night game, Humphrey spoke about the sad reality of this team. He said, "I think you have to look at yourself in the mirror, and I think this team identity is right now is to get in the playoffs and choke. It is what it is. This is just the hard truth." The Ravens won their last 12 games of the season to finish at 14-2, the best record in the NFL. Baltimore then became the second number one seed since 2013 to fail to advance to the conference championship game. Instead of being 1 win from the Super Bowl, Humphrey and the Ravens were cleaning out their lockers after John Harbaugh's final team meeting of the season. Asked about the message of the meeting, Humphrey said, quote, "I don't really know the vibe of it. You feel like you've got something to say in those meetings, so coach gets up there and says whatever." Speaking of the next game the next game later today is Seahawks versus Packers. Well, my pick here is the Seahawks because of how they destroyed the Eagles 17-9. Russell Wilson has had an amazing connection to DK Metcalf, and he showed it a lot over the time in the win over the Eagles. DK Metcalf went off in that game when it was showed why he should have been picked above in the first round by other teams. Russell Wilson, the Seahawks moved from almost getting the 1 seed to being the last of the seeds. Wilson has been great throughout the year and has led the Seahawks to one of their best seasons in the past couple of years. This will be a really good game because both teams have been playing really well. Aaron Rodgers has been playing second to best behind Wilson, although they are neck and neck in all stats. All in all, the best pick has to be the Seahawks. Moving over to NBA news. James Harden scored 32 points in 3 quarters to surpass 20,000 points, and the Rockets rolled up an easy 139-109 victory over the Minnesota Timberwolves on Saturday. Harden said, "It's a great accomplishment, obviously. I have a bigger picture and bigger goals, but it's pretty cool." Teammate and longtime friend Russell Wilson, who also played in the game in which Harden got the first points of his NBA career, was much more effusive in his comments about the milestone. Oh, sorry. I meant to say Russell Westbrook, not Russell Wilson. Russell Westbrook said, quote, to be able to do that on a very high, very high level is something we don't take for granted. Growing up in LA and being able to see him progress over the years, to me, it is just a blessing to see as his friend, and I'm truly happy for him. Not everything went smoothly for Harden in that game, as he turned the ball over 11 times in the first half, marking the most turnovers in a half by any player in the past 20 seasons. The only other player to have 10 turnovers in the first half of the past 20 seasons were Gilbert Arenas on November 10, 2009, in the second half against the Heat. Harden became the first player this season with a triple-double, as he did by halftime. It was done 5 times in a game last season. Saturday marked Harden's 6th career game with 30 or more points and 10 or more turnovers, twice as many of that of any other players in the NBA. Harden had 12 rebounds and 8 assists as the 45th player in the NBA in NBA history to reach 20,000 points and the 7th youngest. He entered the game 10 points away and reached the milestone in fitting fashion on a step-back 3-pointer midway through the second quarter. The public address, the PA announcer simply said 20,000 points after Harden hit the shot, before a video was played during the next timeout to mark the occasion. The video showed Harden making his first points in the NBA, while as the Thunder, then making a free throw that gave him 10,000 and a replay of the three that got him to 20,000. Harden got the game ball on Saturday and presented it to his mom. She said, quote, she has everything. Every goal and achievement that I have, she has it. I give it to her, and she'll put it in a safe place. Already without Clint Capella because of a bruised heel, the Rockets lost fellow starter P.J. Tucker early in the first quarter when he fell hard on his right shoulder. Houston was just fine without them, thanks to another big game from Harden and a 30-point, 6-rebound, 10-assist performance by Westbrook. Harden and Westbrook became the first player Rockets teammates to have 30 points, 5 rebounds, and 5 assists in a game since Hakeem Olajuwon and Robert Horry on April 4, 1994. Moving over to our last talking point of the day is the Cleveland Browns are planning to hire offensive coordinator Kevin Stefanski as their head coach. Stefanski will replace Freddie Kitchens, whom the Browns fired on December 29th after he posted a 6-10 record on just one season at the helm. Stefanski was a finalist for the Cleveland job last year as well, before the team promoted Kitchens from interim offensive coordinator instead. I mean, the Browns were not that good. Were just not that good. It seemed as though Baker Mayfield played sometimes good, showing sparks of what his future could be, and then other times just completely forgetting how to play. But all in all, firing Freddie Kitchens was one of their best moves, and they still have a good young core with OBJ and Baker Mayfield, and then they have a good defense with Myles Garrett and Ward. I just think that it was a good decision to fire Freddie Kitchens after what was a terrible season for anybody in this league. Thanks for listening to E21 Go Sports. I'm Issa Durant. You can subscribe to us on YouTube at E21 Go Sports and follow us on Instagram and Twitter at E21 Go Sports. Thank you.
You've been listening to the E21 Go Sports podcast, a production of Cogger Podcast Network.